this morning. It's found in Proverbs chapter 1. And it says, wisdom crieth without, she utters her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the council, in the openings of the gates in the city. She utters her words, okay? And wisdom is personified as Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is crying out, and he's trying to help people to understand that he exists, that he loves them, that he created them, that he designed them, that he's the Savior that died on the cross for their sin. And so he's crying out here in this text, and it says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. God desires to help everybody. God desires to give everybody a great life, desires to give them an abundant life. But a lot of people, as they hear about the abundant life that God wants to give them, they turn their ear and they say, I don't want to listen to that. I don't really want to hear about that. You know, you might say today, Ben, it's Tuesday morning. I don't really want to think about God today. But I'll say this, like this text says, wisdom crieth without, she utters her voice. And then you go on in that text to those that reject wisdom and say, listen, I don't want to listen to wisdom. It says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. And that's really where our world is today. They turned their back on God, and they said to God, God, I don't care. I don't want to listen to you. Well, God says, hey, you know, that's your choice. And then he says this, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When your trust and anger comes upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, and they shall not find me. Now, obviously, there's a lot of noise down here this morning in case you missed it. What the Word of God said is that he cries out. Jesus says, hey, I exist. Hey, I love you. Hey, I want to give you abundant life. But people say, look, I don't want Christ because I want sin. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so they say, I want my lust, I want my covetousness, I want my lies and deceit, I want my drink, my drugs, my alcohol, my other things, I want that. I don't like God. They cast off God. God says, well, look, you don't have to have me, but there's going to come a day where you're going to cry out and you're going to say, oh, God, I wish you were in my life. I wish that you would do something to help me in this situation. And the Bible says, hey, I'm just going to laugh at you when that calamity cometh because you rejected me when I wanted to reach out to you, when I desired to help you, when I would have given you the help that you needed. You turned your back on me. Let me ask you today, have you turned your back on God? Are you going through life as if there is no God, as if there is no creator, as if there is no designer, as if there is no law, as if there is no someday judgment and justice before a holy God? But God doesn't want you to live that way. God desires for you to wake up and look up and say, hey, there is a God. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sin, and I need him as my Savior. The Bible says, without him, you don't have life. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. God desires you today to know that if you were to die today, that you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. And you might say, Ben, that whole eternal life thing, I'm not that interested in it. He says, this life is tough. Well, listen, eternal life is not like this life. Eternal life has no sorrow, no sickness, no death, no dying. The Bible says in Revelation that he's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. The former things are going to pass away. He's going to make all things new. Those that enter into that have what we desire, a perfect life where there is no sin, where there is no transgression of God's law, and where there is no suffering. That's heaven, but that's not earth. Earth is corrupt because man has sinned. The Bible says that God told Eve, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In doing that, man lost their innocence. We're no longer innocent. We understand that today. Listen, if you believe evolution, ask this question to yourself. Why do I feel guilty when I do something that's wrong? Why do I have a conscience? The Bible says that he wrote his law in our hearts. It's in Romans chapter 1. Sadly, people can sear their conscience, they can quiet their conscience, they can dull their conscience, they can transgress against their conscience. And over time, men become as vile as we see them today, reprobate against God, unashamed. In fact, they take a term and they nail it to the top of their sin and they call it pride. Pride. Bible says these six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The first one is a proud look. A proud look. What is pride? Pride says, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want. That's pride. Pride says, God is not over my life. I don't need God. I cast God off. I'll do my own thing. That's why God hates pride. Pride separates man from the Creator God. Pride comes in between us and the Holy God. Pride says our sins are okay. When sin came in the nostrils of God, when our sin put Christ upon the cross, he died for our sin. It was our pride that put him there. Men can try to label their sin with other labels that they want. They call it abortion. They call it abortion instead of the murder of a baby in a mother's womb. That sweet place of safety that we marvel at. We look at a woman that's pregnant, and rightly we look at that with joy in our hearts. That's amazing. That's what life begins. Everybody that is walking it out today had a wonderful experience in the womb of their mother. God gave them that. That's a place of safety. That's a place of security. That's a place of serenity. That's a place of beauty that God designed a woman to carry a child in a very close and personal way for 9 months until that child will be born and be brought into life. God says that life begins at conception. The Bible says about Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and I ordained the apostles. The Bible says, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. Meaning this, the blueprint for our life was there before even God formed us in our mother's belly. Men are so reprobate today that we get excited if somebody terminates the life of a child in their womb. If we were to see what it's like, we would see a baby that is butchered. We would see a baby that is hurt, a baby that is suffering, and we ought to get on our knees as a nation and weep and beg God for God's forgiveness, because it is grievous the way that we become so heathen and hardened against God. We ought to cry out to our God and say, oh God, how can we be like this? How can we be a people that rejoice in the murder of babies? How can we be a people that rejoice in the destruction of marriage? The Bible does not say that it's okay for people to live together without being married. The Bible says that marriage is honorable to all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Sanctity is a man and a woman in a committed relationship. It is children that can look up to a mom and dad that love one another, that have vowed before God, that they'll keep their covenant in that relationship, and that is a lifelong commitment until death do us part. We're very sadly today. That's not the norm. If I were to ask today, as the people pass this place, how many of you are in marriage, or how many of you are in a sexual relationship outside of marriage, the vast majority of people would say they were in a sexual relationship outside of marriage. If you were to ask our teens, and I've seen the statistics in this last week, that over 40% of 15-year-olds have had intercourse. It's not lawful, even in our legal system, that's not lawful, but it's happening because of the perversion of our society. Again, that's where we're at in our day. We ought to look up to God and say, God, we don't deserve your mercy. Praise God, God has given us a sign of the rainbow that has been stolen by those that are against God and put over their wickedness. But that sign of a rainbow means that God will no longer destroy this earth with a flood. But you know what? The wrath of God is coming. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. It's not going to be a flood this next time. It's going to be a fire. It's going to be the apocalypse that even Hollywood makes movies about. It's going to happen because the wrath of God is against us. Again, we ought to cry out for mercy. For most people today walk about, they act as if they've got God's blessing upon their sin. They act as if their sin is okay. They act as if not only is their sin okay, but that it's honorable. But it's disgusting in the eyes of a holy God. Again, as a nation, we ought to repent. As a nation, we ought to begin to cry out to God and say, God, we don't deserve your mercy, but look at the cross. Look at what you did because you loved us. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ did not die for righteous men. Jesus Christ did not die for good men. Jesus Christ died for us, sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says that we have transgressed and broken God's law, and because of that, the wages of sin is death. It's eternity in the lake of fire. But the Bible says she is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God desires to save you. If you're not saved, I can tell you with the authority of the Word of God, if you die without Christ, you'll spend eternity in hell. The worst thing about hell is that God is not there. In life, everybody's got the blessing of God. But the Bible says about hell, everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Listen, God does not want you to go there. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The desire in the heart of God today will be for the hearts of men in this city to break and to bow before the Almighty, to recognize that Jesus Christ paid the price for their sin on the cross. That He didn't stay in the grave, but that He rose from the dead, as the Bible says. It's like those angels at the tomb, and as the ladies got there, they said, "He is not here, for He has risen as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Jesus Christ loved us so much that He went to the cross. The cross is a place of suffering. If you want to understand today the price that Jesus paid for your sin, look at the cross. If you want to see the wrath of God against man's sin, look at the cross. Those of you that think that God is a loving God and that sin is okay, look at the cross. See what He did to His Son. See what His Son suffered so that we can live. Jesus Christ could have come as the judge of this world, but He didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The Bible says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't matter who you are today, how much you don't believe in God, how much you sinned against God, how hard your heart is against God. Jesus Christ died for you. When you see what He